Good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter in for Tom Flanagan. We're playing a bit of musical chairs today, and Tom's been holding down the morning newscast while Ronald J. Eben is on vacation. We invite you to participate in today's show. Email us at perspectives@wfsu.org or call us at 414-1234 or 1-800-926-8809. This morning we're talking about Tallahassee's efforts to recruit and appeal to retirees and young professionals, and how those efforts sometimes work together and sometimes clash. Joining us, we have Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, Lori Hartsfield, the Executive Director of the Knight Creative Communities Institute, John Peck with Ron Sachs Communications, and Bailey Vochetzer, President of the Network of Young Professionals. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and jump right on into this discussion. So back in April, there was a survey that came out and created a bit of a buzz here around town, and it was the Washington Economics Group that said that Tallahassee was the number one place in the nation for retirees. John, talk a little bit about that. Ron Sachs, the communications, is kind of leading an effort to kind of capitalize on this.
Well, that's true. This really began earlier than that. Late last year, the Consumer Federation of the Southeast commissioned a poll that asked retiring baby boomers a lot of questions about what they're looking for, if they're willing to relocate, and if so, what would they be looking for in a community. And they identified a number of traits, things like they wanted a warm environment but with a hint of winter. They wanted an active lifestyle. They wanted good academic opportunities. They wanted cultural opportunities that didn't have to necessarily be Broadway quality, but just things to do. They wanted all those things. And then looking at that report, the Washington Economics Group on their own decided that they were going to take a look at some cities and see what cities that identified. And interestingly enough, when they counted all the numbers, they came to the conclusion that Tallahassee had the best blend of all those things. One other key consideration, of course, for seniors is health care. And Tallahassee has health care opportunities well beyond the size of this city. So when you put all those things together, Washington Economics Group concluded that Tallahassee was the number one destination for relocating baby boomers.
And apparently we're faring pretty well among young professionals. I think what's the 24/7 Wall Street group that came out and said, you know, Tallahassee 18 to 29 for the millennials. And who wants to grab that one? Lori, let's start with you.
Yeah, Tallahassee is a wonderful place for young professionals. I think that we are enhancing our social offerings. We need to continue to do that. But if you look at what the private sector has been able to do with local government in the Midtown area and what we're doing on Gaines Street and creating that an arts and entertainment cultural district, that's very appealing to young professionals. They're choosing what city they want to live in before they're choosing who they want to work for. And so, you know, as the baby boomers do age out and retire, so to speak, and move to Tallahassee, we do have to be able to harness and recruit that young creative talent to move into those jobs that we have in our area.
So, Commissioner Ziffer, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the private sector definitely coming in, but we also have got some public sector things going on, too. We've got Gaines Street Revitalization, Cascades Park. All of these are playing a kind of a key role in our recruitment strategy for these two groups. Talk a little bit about what's happening, you know, from the city level.
Well, first of all, I want to stress that I don't think attracting the two groups are mutually exclusive from the other. I think both of them are interested in particularly outdoor activity, which we have a tremendous parks and recreation program. They're interested in cultural and arts activities, which we, for a city of our size, have over and overabundance of. They're interested in continuing education, which we clearly have a great deal of. So I don't think the two are opposed to each other. I think, quite frankly, there are an awful lot of things that they're both looking for. From a city standpoint, clearly, I mean, you've mentioned some of the things that we have. There's Gaines Street, which has probably going to be attracting to a younger set. In fact, one of the construction projects that's going to be up there is multifamily, but it's designed specifically not for the college student, but for the person that recently graduated from college. Mm-hmm. That might be single, might be married, but they're still interested in staying close to a university setting. Cascades Park, where you have a couple of miles of walking trails where there's going to be a significant performing arts stage. You've got all sorts of other outside activities that are of interest both for the young and the old. There are a lot of things that this city has to offer that appeal to both. My mother, who is now 83, moved here in 1991, as I recall, because she wanted to retire here. So I would say choose Tallahassee. It didn't start recently. I think it started a long time ago. And the reasons she chose to move here are the same ones people are moving here today.
You know, kind of piggybacking on that, Bailey, you're the incoming president of the Network of Young Professionals, which is a really neat organization that's kind of aimed at keeping that. You know, we talk a lot about keeping that brain trust here in town. What has your membership said about, you know, what they like about Tallahassee? Maybe, you know, what things they would like to see in Tallahassee?
Well, I think obviously we love the aspect of ensuring our young professionals are content outside of the 9-to-5 work time. And our membership obviously wants a fun nightlife. They want culture. They want unique businesses. They're very excited about the growth in Midtown and the downtown area and obviously the Cascades Park project. So I think that's what we're striving to do is kind of just grow Tallahassee as a unique city to live in. And I'm very excited about the growth that I see in Tallahassee so far, especially with the Midtown areas and the new businesses coming up.
You know, how does that play for, you know, we talk about, you know, the baby boom generation. And, well, these aren't, you know, like my great-grandparents' baby boom generation. They're a lot more active. They're a lot more get out and go, continuing, you know, to do things. And we talk a lot about how those two ideals merge when we talk about, you know, what I guess just attracts people to Tallahassee. John, what has the Choose Tallahassee effort returned in terms of comment and what people are really looking for and really desire?
Well, you hit on several of them. One of the main things people are looking to retire here for is a good lifestyle. And, you know, how you define lifestyle comes into things like an affordable cost of living, which we have, desirable climate, which we have, good facilities for all kinds of occupation, entertainment. I mean, one of the hidden gems is, for example, the Tallahassee Senior Center, which offers opportunities. When I moved to Florida out of college in the 1970s, I moved to Tampa. And across the bay was St. Petersburg, which was none too affectionately referred to as God's waiting room. And the stereotype of that kind of a community was basically old people sitting at the shuffleboard court just biding their time. And that's not what seniors are anymore. Baby boomers, and I'm one of them. I'm not yet retirement age, but I'm one of them. And I'm interested in – I want to see concerts. And by concerts, I don't necessarily mean the symphony. You know, I've enjoyed going to concerts with my kids of rock and roll. That's what I grew up on, and it's still current. I think in previous generations, you had a much greater divide between what the younger generation and the older generation were interested in for entertainment and recreation. I don't think that's the case anymore, nearly as much as it used to be. And Tallahassee has a lot of great facilities that can appeal equally to seniors and to younger professionals.
Commissioner, you wanted to jump in there?
Well, I was going to say, Lynn, I think and it's been several years now. When the recession hit us, it forced an awful lot of potential retirees all around the country to put their move on hold for any number of reasons. Maybe they no longer had the financial wherewithal to move. They couldn't sell their home. But things are starting to improve in some of those areas. You know, if you look at some of the real estate sales figures around the country, some of the areas that were hardest hit are starting to come back. And so this retiree group, which is not the 70 or 80 or 90-year-old, it's the 50-plus, is starting to look at where are they going to go. And everything John said is what they're looking for, which is what we have. It's really important for us as a community to do everything we can with Choose Tallahassee and the young professionals to let people know what we have, which is what we're trying to do.
You know, I was going to ask specifically about that. You know, Tallahassee has really built itself on our universities, and clearly, you know, we are the capital of the state of Florida. Lots of government jobs, two areas that are filled by these two exact demographic groups. How have the changes that have occurred, especially kind of the job losses that we've incurred here in town, maybe hindered our efforts. And, you know, I kind of want to switch this and just talk about on the young professional side, you know, Bailey, what have you seen here in this area?
Frankly, I've seen a lot of growth in jobs. I mean, obviously, there's new businesses coming up. I mean, we have businesses like the Front Porch opening up, mm-hmm. and other businesses like when Hotel Duval opened up, I mean, in the Four Points and all that. So I see more growth rather than job loss in my personal opinion.
Okay. And Lori? Yes.
Absolutely. I think when the economy is down, that makes everybody work harder and smarter, mm-hmm. More efficiently, so that you are marketing yourself, you are marketing your business, you are working together, but you're also putting more effort and focus into your community efforts. One of the things that we follow or adhere to Richard Florida's Rise of the Creative Class principles in our KCCI program, and he recently released data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that targeted creative metros. In the last 6 years, I think, Tallahassee has moved up from number 37 to number 11 in creative metros.
So creative metros, people get creative, you know, during hard economic times, but what does that really translate to on the ground?
Well, and what we consider a creative individual are those individuals who have to use their brain power to stimulate a product. For example, a physician, an attorney, people in marketing and communications, people in outside of local government and higher education, so to speak. But those who are driving their business by their abilities, essentially. And so we are seeing that more of those individuals are choosing to live and work in Tallahassee. And so it's really not about the government job, so to speak, as it is about more businesses on the ground and running and operating. And you're seeing more social offerings, you're seeing more nightlife in Tallahassee, you're seeing more retail businesses in Tallahassee. And one of the things that one of our catalysts, former catalyst Jay Revel, he's also Commissioner Daly's aide, loves to say is, if you move to Tallahassee as a young professional, the leadership's so accessible that you can do anything you want to do in half the time and for half the money. And I think that's very true, and it's very relevant in our time. You are able to accomplish so much more in our city right now.
Great. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, kind of what's going on with Tallahassee and its efforts to recruit. We're getting ready to take a break here in a minute. But if you want to join our conversation, we invite you, perspectives@wfsu.org, or call 1-800-926-8809 or 414-1234. We'll be back right after a quick break. We're back on Perspectives talking about Tallahassee and its efforts to recruit and retain retirees and young professionals. Lori, when we left off, we were just talking about Tallahassee's nightlife. And during the break, you know, what is going on with downtown? Like, we've got this fantastic city. Midtown has taken off. Downtown, we've got all these buildings. A lot of them are sitting empty. And we talk about, you know, getting this active group of people. Downtown is sitting right there. So, well, Commissioner Ziffer, what's
sure.
up?
I was going to say I'm not Lori, but I'll answer that question. I could try to be Lori. No, I don't want to do that. You know, first of all, I would argue the point there really aren't that many empty buildings. And that's, quite frankly, our biggest problem is we have a condo that's downtown, mm-hmm. that is empty, that has some retail space on the bottom floor. But with the exception of that, what we have downtown is a very successful and vibrant business sector of law firms, of lobbyist firms, some retail, some restaurant, but for the most part, it's a daytime operation downtown. But my question is, what is downtown? And we have these other areas. For example, Gaines Street is not that far from downtown. Midtown is not that far from downtown. Is the Hotel Duval part of downtown? Is Cascades Park part of downtown? I would argue that what we have, which is actually quite good, which is what we need, is we have these different areas in our city that have grown organically, that now provide wonderful restaurants, that have good nighttime entertainment, up at Market Street, up at Appalachia Parkway. And what we have are places that people can go to enjoy nightlife, to enjoy food, to enjoy gathering places where they don't have to get in their car and drive 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a good thing. Our downtown, we will continue to try to do more down there. But quite frankly, there's a limited amount of space. And that's our biggest issue. Now, Adams Street, we have a lot of things going on. I mean, who could argue that the downtown get-downs aren't successful? They are. People do come down for that. But for the most part, right now, most of the activity we have is daytime. But we have all these other areas over the last several years that have developed that have been quite successful. And I would hate to continue to just focus on downtown when we have all these other areas that are doing very well.
I mean, but there was an effort a couple of years back to do this whole like extended hours down there.
There still is. The Downtown Improvement Authority still tries to do that. We've added more downtown get-downs. But we don't want to fight too much with what's happening with what the private sector is doing.
Yeah.
Government should not get in the way. Government is there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Government is there to support some of the things that we've done in Midtown, for example. Midtown did it on their own. We have gone back in and we've created this space now on Fifth Avenue where we can close that road to vehicular traffic at night or on weekends and have festivals. We are put some medians in there and we're going to be doing a lot more. We've got some special gas lighting that's gone in. We're doing some things with sidewalks and seatings. We're going in afterwards just to make it better. And I think that's what we need to do. I don't want to be competitive with the private sector. We want to be supportive. And I think it's certainly I can speak for my other colleagues on the City Commission. That's what we're really focusing on.
Let the growth happen where it may. I can understand that. Well, on line one, we've got George from WFSU. George, are you there?
Yes, I am, Lynn.
Hi. How you doing this morning?
Okay, I've talked to you before in my capacity as switchboard operator in the Office of Financial Aid.
Okay, yeah.
And you called back to our director, and we got you hooked up, but I'm in the DROP program.
Uh-huh.
I've been since September 1st of last year. And I have four more years before I retire. And I was attracted to Tallahassee when I went to FSU.
What attracted you to FSU? You said FSU attracted you. What made you stay?
Well, actually, I moved to Miami for a few years. And then I came back because I liked it here.
What about it?
Number one, it's you have your season. Secondly, you have your university, you have your diversity of cultures, and you also have the state government, which unfortunately doesn't pay well, but it's fair.
Gotcha. Well, I wish you the best. Good luck with the drop. It's coming soon. You plan on hanging around after retirement?
Well, see. I've got a few more years, and I'll just see which direction I go.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for calling. And I want to give this back to John right quick. You know, we didn't talk a lot about this, but universities.
Well, that's a key factor as well. Lifelong learning is a bureaucratic term sometimes, but basically what it means is that you continue to learn in various ways throughout your life. And one of those ways is in the college and university setting. Florida State, Florida A&M, Tallahassee Community College all have programs that are designed to help people who are not pursuing a degree specifically or necessarily career enhancement. They just want to have the knowledge. And that's something that's very important as well.
And Bailey, that's where we also pull. Tallahassee is fortunate enough to have two universities sitting here and a community college. And a lot of the people who choose to stay here in that 18 to 30 some odd demographic are graduates of Florida A&M and TCC and Florida State University. That has to play a big role.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm graduated of FSU as well. And I've left because she was talking about how she went to Miami after or he, I forgot, but how he went to Miami after graduating. Mm-hmm. And me, I mean, I was obviously a regular graduate, so I was planning on leaving, but then I ended up finding a great job here. And I think the biggest role, like, the networking professionals plays in keeping those grads is creating relationships, because a lot of times friends will leave and then you're like, well, where do I go? So the networking professionals was a great asset to me, because I went in and I was like, I need friends, I need relationships. It made me want to stay in Tallahassee, and then it gave me the opportunity to go and I guess enjoy the offerings that Tallahassee has.
You know, I hear a lot about that. When people graduate, a lot of people go, but a lot of people stay, and then you find yourself in a place where it's like, well, wow, all of my friends have disappeared, I'm still here. And then I think after the point where you hit graduation, it's like, well, what else does Tallahassee have to offer? Because when you're in that college environment, you may be limited to Tennessee Street, you know?
Well, go ahead.
Nope.
We do find that there is a bubble for university students. And somewhat, for Florida State in particular, the stadium kind of serves as somewhat of a barrier to downtown. Hmm. And people just don't – students just do not come around to the downtown sector. One of the things that Knight Foundation did was to commission a study called the Collegia Study. And we found that students who were who did an internship with a Tallahassee business were more than 40% likely to stay in Tallahassee after graduation. And the reason for that is because not only did they get to build those relationships, but they got to know what our city was like. Many of them only know what they're reading on – their campus newspaper or what they're hearing from friends and family. And I know when I decided to get back into the workforce and interview nannies for my children, they were going up North Meridian Road and thought, where in the world am I going? Is this really a safe place? I've never seen this part in my life. Did not know that Market Street and that entire North Tallahassee shopping area even existed. And so it's interesting that they are starting to get out and come around, and I think College Town will do an excellent job at getting people and those students on the other side of the stadium into downtown so that they can see more social offerings.
But that's a two-way street, though, other than just Gain Street, which is now a two-way street. But it's also getting residents of our community mm-hmm. over in the university. Lori made the comment that the students, when they may have their internships with local businesses, they have a far greater chance of staying here. That happens with that relationship building, but also just making those contacts. The more we can have our residents participating in activities at Florida State, other than a football game, but the cultural opportunities, the music, the art, and College Town, the better interaction we're going to have between the students and those folks that live here. And the more we do that, I think the better opportunity we have. I wanted to just give a quick example of something that recently happened that is one of those things that we're trying to do as a city that will help draw some more young people to stay here. And it was purely coincidental. It has to do with our Parks and Recreation Department. You know, we have clearly we have golf and we have tennis and we have all sorts of other recreational opportunities. We have an arts and crafts program at Lafayette Park, which I want to say that I think we've been able to save. A lot of people are upset about that. But recently we saw some folks, young people, mm-hmm. recent college graduates, that were down at Doug Burnett Boulevard Park, and they were doing this new kind of tension exercise. I'm not familiar with it. I'm going to try it tonight. And they were actually trying it on one of our new light posts in that area, which was a problem. And I happened to see them, and I went over and had a conversation with them. And we've put in some TRX equipment in there now in that park. Uh-huh. And it's something to provide even greater opportunity for young people to use city-provided parks and recreation activities. That will help them stay here because – not all young people are interested in tennis and golf, but they are interested in this TRX equipment. And so we're trying – once again, we're trying to support as a government things that are happening already. Mm-hmm. And Parks and Recreation is one of them. I think probably both for the young group and the old groups, being outside is one of the greatest things Tallahassee has to offer.
You know, I was – oh, go ahead.
Lynn, if I could, you know, you were talking about getting the community more involved with the university, and I think – part of the charm of Tallahassee is that it's small, but it doesn't lack for cultural opportunities. That it may not be Carnegie Hall, mm-hmm. but I know that my son graduated from the music school at Florida State, and I was amazed when we went for some of his recitals. There are signs on every building telling you that there are free recitals of various instruments, vocalists, all kinds of performances – free concerts, as it were, of people who are – many of them are professional caliber. They're just not yet at that point of their career. In the same way that you might want to go to – if you go to Florida State football, you're seeing NFL players. Just they haven't made it there yet, but they will be. Same thing with other kind of opportunities. There's so much the university has to offer to folks in the community if they only know about it. And it's for me personally, I'm willing to give up – the opportunity to see the people I see on television for the convenience of being able to get there in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and we, you know, we got to – I think Florida A&M puts on its Lyceum series that brings a lot of great jazz artists. The last cycle, world-renowned opera singers performing arch troupes. There's a lot out there. I want to switch gears for 2 seconds. You know, we talk about what is Tallahassee's brand. What makes Tallahassee, Tallahassee? And, you know, we've all talked about it a lot is its appeal to the outdoors. You know, we love our parks. Gosh, you know, in this city, save our trees, don't touch our parks. You know, but this is a really big boost to us. And, you know, Bailey, you talk about, you know, what attracts young professionals, what keeps people here. People like being active. They like going outside. You know, how has this played into getting, you know, young professionals to stay here? And then once they actually start discovering, it seems like they all, you know, seem to kind of discover, you know, the bike lanes, the track lanes and things of that sort.
We've definitely pushed an effort to do some of our events outside as well to show everyone the beauty of Tallahassee. We've held a kayaking trip down to St. Mark's, and we're actually doing a bear paw trip for those who've ever been down. And we just try to do, obviously, more outdoorsy things because I love being outdoors, and I think it appeals to a lot of young professionals.
Our Tourist Development Council, mm-hmm. one of the major efforts that we have through the TDC is for ecotourism. We have become known in certainly in the Southeast and in some circles nationally for biking, for walking trails, the paths you can take all the way to the coast. It is a big thing for us from a tourism standpoint. And that translates into potential people that might be moving here that have come to visit. So once again, and it keeps coming up, the seasons here, while we have four seasons, they are not unbearable seasons. And, you know, you don't have to sludge through 2 or 3 feet of snow in the winter. So outside is a year-round activity here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very helpful, which is one of the reasons why an older population and a younger population want to look at us.
Definitely. And you're listening to Perspectives on WFSU.org. Email us at perspectives@WFSU.org or give us a call at 414-1234. One of the things that I've noticed lately is we are getting some really, you know, people are kind of excited, some really great new businesses. I want to talk about the Whole Foods effect. So there is a Whole Foods that is moving in on Thomasville Road where the old theater was. A lot of people were very sad to see the theater go. Now we're getting a Whole Foods here. And some people have said, you know, when the Whole Foods comes in, all of a sudden castles start popping up. I wouldn't say castles, but, you know, where Whole Foods goes, other things start popping up there. And this is generating a lot of buzz. Who wants to grab that one?
Well, I will. Our Chamber of Commerce retreat was this past weekend, and Whole Foods was a big topic during one of the breakout sessions. Whole Foods is one of those retailers mm-hmm. that once it appears in a community, other retailers, restaurateurs from around the country, names that we would all love to have here, all of a sudden start to look. Because if it's good enough for Whole Foods and if the demographic is right for Whole Foods, then others look at that. There are other grocery store chains that will go unmentioned that are also looking at coming to Tallahassee. Same thing. We're reaching this threshold that is going to create a far greater desire for some of these major retailers. We were talking about there's a without mentioning names, well, I will. There's a DSW going in on Appalachie Parkway. For those of us that have been to a DSW, what a great place. That doesn't take anything away from the other shoe stores in town. But it's one of those retailers that up until a few years ago would not have looked at us. There are going to be even more announcements coming in the very near future.
What contributes to that, to these, you know, very particular brands, and what does it say about a city when there is this particular brand that's moving in? Bailey, you had a thought over there?
I'm a huge advocate for the small businesses and stuff here in town. So when we were very upset and sad that when Miracle 5 was no longer here.
We had a campaign.
Network Young Professionals did have a campaign and had our last farewell tailgate. And I think the only thing that really upset us was the fact that we didn't know in time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Whole Foods is great, I'm guessing.
the one thing I found having been in business all these years, when one leaves, another opportunity comes. Mm-hmm. And I think that vacuum that's there for a Miracle 5 type theater, I think you'll see that come up someplace else, and it may be an outside person coming in here that does this as a chain, or maybe somebody locally. But there is still a need for that, and I think you'll find that happening.
You know. Well, and I can tell you, I moved here from Austin, Texas, and so that's
we don't want to compare.
That's the home of Whole Foods.
Well, you know, there is something else on that Austin tip, but go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And not that Tallahassee needs to become the next Austin, because it doesn't, but I think there is an opportunity for it to become a better Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is Whole Foods does have a hip factor, and it attracts other businesses and restaurants, as Commissioner Ziffer said, that have that hip factor. When you have those amenities there, then those young professionals and those retirees who want those amenities, what they call leisure amenities, who want to live in a city that has those, they then find Tallahassee more attractive too. And it's cyclical. And so when you have that talent here, you also start to attract the attention of those employers who can move and relocate to your area as well. And I think that's big. That's
like a life cycle.
And I think that in itself is a new story, that we actually had somebody from Austin, Texas move to Tallahassee.
And stayed. She put down roots. John, you were over there.
Well, yeah, I think it also has that impact for seniors as well. They want to move to a place that has some familiar amenities. And when you get a place like that, big time businesses, it tells you that you're moving to a big time city, even if it may be a small town.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break here on Perspectives, and we'll be right back. And we're back on Perspectives, talking about Tallahassee and its attraction to retirees and young professionals. And during the break, Mr. Peck, you were talking about, you know, we've talked a lot about what attracts retirees here, but, you know, why does Tallahassee need them? Why do we want them to really come in?
Well, in a word, economy.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of money in the baby boomer market, quite frankly. There are something along the lines of 78 million Americans who are in the baby boomer generation who over the next decade or decade and a half are going to be retiring. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to get them all to Tallahassee. We don't want to add 78 million people to the population of Tallahassee. But if we got as small an amount as 0.3%, which is really a pretty small number when you think about it, that would have an impact of $1 billion a year on the local economy. From seniors who are able to relocate, probably have investments, there's Social Security, other sources of income. They will then go out to Whole Foods and other retailers, commercial opportunities, and it's money that channels through the local economy. But 0.3% can get us $1 billion a year, and that's why the Choose Tallahassee initiative is really being aggressive about trying to bring the city to the attention of folks. There's a website with the choosetallahassee.com where folks in other communities can find information about Tallahassee, contact someone in town. They'll receive a lot of information about it, and that's how it begins. That's how
gotcha.
You get the group.
And hold that thought. We've got a line. We've got a caller on the phone. It's Russell from Tallahassee. Russell, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly well. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I originally grew up in Bainbridge, Georgia, and ended up doing my master's at Florida State. And about 14 years ago to the day, now that I think of it, I left Tallahassee to go to Atlanta, where I've been since. And you know, I still have family here. Obviously, I'm down here now, and I visit family, and I go to Tallahassee and see old friends. And I'm excited, saddened, and scared by everything that I'm hearing right now because, and I'll try to keep it brief just to get some feedback from you guys, but the Gaines Street Project was the talk of the town when I lived here, and I kept waiting for it to start, and at that time I was right at 28, and it seemed like that would be awesome for someone my age, but it just took forever, and it just would never happen, and now it's finally happening, but all of the other great plans that seem to pop up and that Tallahassee would really benefit from seem to get bogged down in... It just seems to take too long in Tallahassee, and that's part of why I left. Atlanta's obviously a different environment for building and ongoing activities, but it seems like Tallahassee has great ideas, and it's got such, like, Caltrans back in the day. It was great, and it seems like that's having its own issues, that everything gets going, and people get excited, and then everything goes into a committee meeting, and it takes forever.
Taking a long time. Understandable. Well, that's a valid criticism, Commissioner. Talk to what takes so long? You know,
I was going to have Lori answer that question.
Okay. Well, whoever wants to grab it first.
I think, Russell, I've been here 29 years, and there's nothing you've said that I, quite frankly, would argue with until recently. And unfortunately, we've had to deal with a downed economy over the last several years. But I will tell you from a government standpoint, and this is from the city standpoint and everything I know from what the county is doing, we're doing everything we can to move things as quickly as we can. I'm not sure if you're visiting while you're here, if you've moved back here. But Gaines Street, for example, we have moved very quickly in approving over, I think it's now $150 million worth of projects that are either on Gaines Street or around the university that are going to be coming out of the ground in the next 18 months. 15 years ago, that kind of pace would not have occurred. We are making progress in trying to get things done by virtue of the fact that conversation we're having right now about how government is working with the private sector, young, retirees, the creative class, I think that says an awful lot about what we're doing, whereas when I moved here 29 years ago, it was more a matter of we need to save exactly what we have and let's not change because we like our quality of life. We're not doing that anymore. We want our quality of life. We want to save those things that make us popular, but we do recognize that Tallahassee can become something more.
And we've got Kevin who's calling from Tallahassee. Kevin, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
I had a couple of questions. I have family in Keys, and they never want to come to visit me because, frankly, it costs way too much to fly in and out of our airport here. And also, we lost our passenger rail service a few years back, and nothing's been done really to restore it. It's left Tallahassee a little bit isolated, and it's one of the reasons that I'm considering leaving the area. I'm just wondering what your panelists have to say about improving transportation links with the rest of the state and the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue, Commissioner. I think that one is yours.
Okay, here we go. I'll deal with the rail service first. Unfortunately, we lost the rail service when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. It devastated a significant amount of the system that existed between here and New Orleans. The bridges went out. Unfortunately, once those bridges were rebuilt, the lines were not reinstated because from a financial standpoint, it just was not economically feasible. I think the government recognizes that we just can't subsidize, you know, $700 per ticket for rail service. Now, having said that, I know there are a group of mayors and governors. There are all sorts of people that are meeting in, I think somewhere in Georgia, and I apologize. I know it's the next week or two, where they're sitting down and we're talking about how we try to get that reinstated. It's going to cost money. And the problem right now is particularly with the federal government is there's not a lot of money to spare. As far as air service, the airlines have figured out they can fly less and make more money. The times when the airlines would put as many planes in the air and our prices were going down and we were enjoying it, they were losing an awful lot of money. Having said that, we have made some substantial changes in the operations of our airport, where we have started to see some pretty good fare decreases. Now, I'm not saying that they're all good, but I will tell you, about 2 weeks ago, I booked an airfare to go to South Florida, and it was $156 round trip. You're starting to see more and more of that. We are lowering the landing fees to the airlines. We're looking at developing some of the lands that the city of Tallahassee owns around the airport that will, in turn, the money that comes in off of that will help lower landing fees even more. And the airlines are noticing that. Has it happened right away? No. Are airlines' fares as low as I'd like them to be? No. Are we making progress? Yes. We're like an awful lot of other communities, though it's difficult. I will tell you this. There are an awful lot of airports around the country, small and medium-sized airports, that are closing because the airlines are pulling out. We're not having that here. We're seeing more service. We're seeing slightly lower fares, and we're going to continue to work in that regard. We'd like to keep you here. This is a good place to live. And I think you'll find that perhaps greener pastures are not as green as they really are once you go there.
Yes, definitely. Well, air travel remains kind of Tallahassee's work in progress. We've got Russell again back on the phone with another point. Russell, are you there?
Yes.
Go for it.
I just want to quickly add that the part that scared me that I was mentioning is that Tallahassee is it's an anomaly for this area because, frankly, it's progressive when you compare it to a lot of the areas around. And I'm excited to hear that the idea of development happening and getting exciting vendors and retailers in town is easier now. But Whole Foods is great, but New Leaf Market is awesome. Same way when I was there, Ruby Fruit Books was there, and it was such a wonderful independent bookstore. And then Barnes & Noble came to town, and Ruby Fruit Books just couldn't make it. And I'd hate to see Tallahassee lose that, what I call Tallahassee-ness of it, you know?
It's the identity factor.
Yeah, I just hope that the growth can be balanced and, keep Tallahassee Tallahassee.
You know, Bailey, you were talking about that point about, seeing some of these big box names move in and pushing out some of our hometown brands, just kind of what Russell was saying. I mean, it's a concern. Tallahassee kind of seems like we want to have it both ways. We want to have that small town feel with big town names. I mean, sometimes that may or may not be that compatible.
I mean, I agree. I think that I'm a big advocate for small businesses. I mean, we have great local stores here. We have Way Out West and Cole Couture and all those great stores. And while it's great to have the big names and everything, you have to kind of wonder what's going to happen to Tomato Land that's right down the street, and obviously New Leaf and all that. So it's great, but it shows some concern.
Tallahassee and finding its niche.
And when I lived in Austin, there was a lot of the same concern. I was in the Zilker Park area, which is right off Town Lake, and people there felt like Austin had changed so much from the city that it was in the 1960s. And yes, it had, and it had grown, and they were attracting different businesses, particularly from the Silicon Valley, and they just didn't want to see Austin lose its character. And about that same time, there was an entire campaign devoted to keep Austin weird. And so Austin found its niche, but it continued to promote itself as the Keep Austin Weird, that we still have those little quirky places and restaurants and shops and whatnot here in that or there in that city. Tallahassee's doing a little bit of the same thing, Keep Sassy Tallahassee, where it's promoting local shopping. You've got shopping on one Saturday every month, local shopping. And so I think we're trying to do that. I think we do need to do a better job of branding ourselves and figuring out exactly what we want other people to know about Tallahassee. It's very important that we say that we're unique. We are not a typical southern city. We have a very educated population here. We do have social offerings. We do have opportunities for development. We do have opportunities to start new businesses. We have Innovation Park. We have partnerships with the universities. We have collaborative partnerships with local government and local businesses. And I think it's really important that we start to brand ourselves as that kind of city and really show off a little bit.
Especially, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what's interesting, if you watch the major retail chains, the Best Buys, which are now having financial difficulty, and other big malls are not what they were at one time. And I think you're finding what you're mentioning, and that is there is a desire to find those smaller retailers, to go to and support those local retailers because they're unique, particularly with this creative class we're talking about. They like being unique. And so while we obviously want these new retailers or new businesses to come here, we clearly want to continue to support our smaller local retailers. There's what makes us who we are. And if you look at the restaurants in our town, the smaller restaurants, they're doing great business. I have not personally gone to a chain restaurant in forever in this town because there's so many new offerings of small local restaurants.
And they're really attracting people. You know, before we took those last two calls, we had started, John was talking about, you know, why Tallahassee wants retirees. We were talking about the economy, you know, and for Bailey, what attracts young professionals to Tallahassee are those kind of niche markets. Why does Tallahassee want those young professionals to stay here?
I mean, first of all, the talent pool. I mean, we have FAMU, we have Florida State. I'm like, we have so much great talent here in town. We want to keep that because we have to keep our economy going and everyone working in Tallahassee.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to add, it was something that John said regarding retirees, and this also applies to the younger class coming out of college. Retirees particularly, they don't impact our schools, which means we're not having to build more schools, but they are spending money because they've been saving their whole lives. And so we have the added benefit of less impact on our infrastructure and yet greater spending. That's exactly who we want. And the same thing applies to a younger group that before they start to have children and all, they're out spending money, and that's a good thing.
Spend more money, buy local, and put it in Tallahassee, please. That's kind of what an ongoing theme I see here. So, you know, Lori, with the Knight Creative Communities, you all are all about, from what I've read, like fostering that hometown feel, fostering that and growing that. Something I saw on your website that sparked my interest was, what is this that I'm reading about giving Tallahassee a grander entryway? I am really curious about that.
One of our projects right now is called Gateway Tallahassee. And they looked at several entryways into Tallahassee, whether it be South Monroe, Lake Bradford, North Monroe, and they really saw the greatest opportunity for improvement along the North Monroe corridor. So they held their first public meeting a couple of weeks ago. Commissioner Ziffer and County Commissioner John Daly attended the meeting, and there were more than 40 individuals who were interested in learning more about ways that corridor could be improved. When you look at the traffic count of more than 45,000 cars coming in and out of our city on that particular segment, and you look at the desolate, for lack of a better word, buildings that are there, they're empty. It's not aesthetically pleasing. There's not an entry marker in to say welcome to Tallahassee that really stands out, that's unique, that brands Tallahassee as a unique city. And so they wanted to look at ways that they could improve that. And so they're starting to put together ideas. They did a SWOT analysis from those 40 individuals, and they're putting together a report, which they will come back and make recommendations to both city and county commissions in the near future. But that's really the focus of that. But we do have several entryways, and how do we make Tallahassee more attractive from I-10 into our city?
And if you look at the biggest real estate issue we have there, it's Tallahassee Mall, which is an example of a big old mall with major retailers that didn't quite make it. And the smaller retailers that we have in the community are. So I think it kind of confirms that the smaller realtor can survive. And yet we do need to try to figure out, and it's a very complicated problem with Tallahassee Mall, but we need to try to figure out what we can do there with hopefully some kind of mixed-use development that provides opportunity for smaller local retailers, but also can bring in some of those other retailers, which creates more need for business, which creates more traffic, which creates a more popular area to go to.
Gotcha. And Bailey, one of the things that NYP offers that, you know, I looked at is, I was like, oh, that's just quite interesting, is that Golden Aces, the Golden Ace Awards. You guys held your first one this past year, and it is specifically targeted to the group of people in this young professional. It's like a reward ceremony. Talk a little bit about that. That's kind of cool.
Yes, our Golden Aces is by far our baby. I mean, we've worked so hard to get to the point where we are, where we can have that award ceremony. And it was honoring the top 20 young professionals under 40 in the Tallahassee area that have worked towards authentic community engagement, which is Golden Ace.
Awesome.
And we were focused on the Tallahassee area and rewarding those who, besides their 9-to-5 jobs, which they do wonders, and they focus on the community and what they've done to enhance Tallahassee as a whole.
Awesome. So, you know, as we prepare, unfortunately, we only have an hour and we could go forever, but I wanted to go around and just kind of get your final thoughts quickly. John, you know, when we talk about attracting retirees, keeping retirees, why we need them, why they need us, go for it.
Well, retirees want to live in a vibrant community where there's a lot of life going on around them. Tallahassee has that, and all the things we've been talking about for the past hour will make it even more alive. And that's what they're looking for in a place that doesn't require a snow shovel.
Gotcha.
I'll say it again. Moved here 29 years ago, and what attracted me most about the community, throwing out everything we just talked about,
awesome,
is the people here are just downright friendly. And I still hear that from people that move here today, that the people here are unbelievably friendly. That's our greatest commodity to sell, is it's a wonderful place to live because of the people.
And this is Perspectives. It's produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox, and Michael Fleming handles the phones. I'm Lynn Hatter. Join us again next week for more expert opinion and your input here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.